I don't know how much attention you pay to the Car of the Year competition. I check it out every year. I'm interested to know what is winning. It doesn't influence any of the purchasing decisions that I have ever made around cars, because as I think I mentioned last week, the most amount of money that I've ever spent on a car is 250,000 rand, and you don't tend to get cars of the year for under 250,000. But this year, there are a lot of categories: compact, compact family, midsize, premium, adventure, SUV, double cab, luxury, performance, and new energy. And it appears that what the judging panel did was set a basic points level which a car needed to achieve in order to be in contention for an award in one of the categories. And in some of the lower price categories, there are four as a compact family and five in midsize. But adventure SUV, there's only one vehicle that made it in terms of the number of points required to be a finalist, and that was the Ford Everest. And when it comes to the double cab, just two, Ford Ranger and Isuzu D-Max. So Toyota not getting a look in there at all. My fave motoring journalist of all time. Oh, we've got you, have we, Juliet?
Oh,
is this a new approach?
Yes, it is. So I'm actually a judge this year. On it's the first time I've ever been a judge for them, mainly because I've just never sort of maybe meshed well with how things were running within the guild, but specifically about this award. It kind of made no sense to me for many years. But this time around, I think that everything has been changed and shaken up a bit, because you have things like, say, the compact family segment is enormous. And there are so many contenders that it's hard to, you know, if you're going to put them into different categories, like to say, okay, well, we're going to have only one or two compact families. And then where something like the double cab segment or adventure SUV specifically has almost no contenders, barring the Ford Everest and maybe one or two others, is to sort of make it a more fair playing field, I guess. And then I think the reason something like the Hilux is maybe not in there is this would have been all the cars that were launched in a specific period last year. And so
maybe
Hilux
they
might
didn't
not
have a new model, yeah.
Yes, they only would have had the GR, like the top of the range, sort of sporty one, which wouldn't really have mattered in this case. So that would be the reason for that. And I suppose then it does just give all the other models, well, a fair fighting chance, really.
There is only one Toyota, and that is the RAV4 E4 in the new energy category. But a couple of things. You and I spoke about the Chinese cars and how their quality is improving. And there are two Chinese cars nominated, one in the compact family, the BIC Beijing X55, which is the one that you and I talked about, and then the Chery Tiggo Pro 8 in the midsize category. And, you know, a couple of years ago, you would not have conceived of Chinese cars being in contention for Car of the Year in any category.
And it's such a lovely breath of fresh air, because they would never have stood a chance. They're just, you know, kind of just saying it like it is. They weren't good enough. And now I think, and it's especially not just the fact that the products are actually quite excellent, but in a time now where we are so focused on, you know, value for money. Our money doesn't go very far these days. And where you've had diehard Volkswagen fans, they've gone, hang on, I love a Volkswagen, I can't actually afford it anymore. What else can I get? And so then they're looking at these other cars going, they almost don't make sense because the value is so good. And they're not a too good to be true thing, which is, I think, what everybody's finding out now, especially because they've been on the road now for a while. So it's actually really nice to see them in here. Well, I mean, will they take the number one spot? I mean, it's going to be hard to say. I mean, I doubt it, but it's nice to see them there anyway.
I don't think anybody would argue with the Mercedes-Benz S-Class being a nominee for the luxury segment. But again, you know, maybe other luxury cars didn't launch a new model in the year. The performance, the Audi RS3 sedan hatch, is that a bit of a surprise that is the only car which reached the minimum number of points to qualify in the performance category?
Well, again, I mean, again, I think it's probably also the fact that there weren't maybe many performance cars sort of launched in the time period of the cars that would qualify. But an RS3, so your RS3, RS4, RS6, whatever, are probably certainly motoring journalists' favorite performance cars because they sort of do everything so well. So I'm not surprised to see it there. I mean, obviously, I was one of the people who voted in this in this competition, but no, I don't think it's not a surprise. I think it's maybe just down to the fact that there weren't enough to be voted into.
And then, I mean, I have enormous interest in new energy cars, an interesting way of framing it. And I've driven a few of them, and so but of the four, and there are four that have got sufficient points to be considered in this category. The Audi e-tron GTRS, which I have driven, and it's one of the most fabulous driving experiences I've ever had. And the other three nominees I've not driven, the Haval H6 Hybrid, so that is petrol and E, Toyota RAV4, and the Volvo XC40 P8 Recharge, which I know was sold out before the first car even arrived in South Africa. There was such demand for the two Volvo e-vehicles. I presume you've driven all four of them. Your thoughts?
Yes, I have. I think something like I've recently just had the EQ lineup, the Mercedes EQ lineup, and I've been living with an EV for more than a week. And it can be quite dreadful, to say the least, at this time, unless you, and even if you are off the grid, you just need so much power to charge them. So something like the Volvo, they call it an EB with a backup. That's what Volvo kind of says it. And I love that because the range anxiety that I dealt with this past week was on another level, where I found myself in Elgin thinking I could charge it at Peregrine on the way home, only to get there and the charger didn't work. And I now had 90 Ks to get home. And my house was 80 Ks away. And when you hit the highway, what says 90 Ks range
disappears very quickly.
Yes.
You're constantly braking to try and recover some of the kinetic energy. Yeah.
Oh, I was annoying everybody on the N2 on the way home, but I didn't care. I needed to get home. So, but I think in this category, again, it's really tough because the e-tron is fantastic. For me, again, if you know, I always have the sort of customer in mind, and my mind would always, I would still be going for something like an XC40 Recharge, where you've still got a bit of a petrol engine, and or the H6 Hybrid, where your fuel consumption is very good, but you're not going to get stuck on the highway with, you know, nowhere to charge your car.
What was the Toyota RAV? I mean, is that that completely electric?
So the RAV4E4, no, they. Yeah, they've got the hybrid, the RAV4, and then this one, if I'm not mistaken, is the one that they're still deciding whether they're actually going to full-on bring it or have it sold in South Africa. But it is full electric, if I'm not mistaken. Someone's going to come online and say, no, she's talking rubbish. But so I'm out here to say I'm not 100% sure on that one because I drove both of them at the launch, and I can't call at this point.
It made a deep impression on you, Juliet McGuire. Deep impression. Is there anything missing from any of the categories where you're shaking your head and saying, how could my fellow judges not join me in recognizing the qualities of this compact family car, mid-size car, premium car, adventure SUV, or whatever the case may be?
Not really. You know, it was a very difficult year of judging, which I'm sure they say every single year. But I think I sort of had a Kia Sportage, and I know I've always said I'm a Kia fan, but this new Sportage just is really fantastic. I think if that had been left off, and the new Ford Everest, I would have probably had something to say. I might have thrown my hands up and said I'm not doing this anymore. But I'm glad to have seen that those two are in there.
Okay, lovely to talk to you. We'll try and do it on a reasonably regular basis. What are you driving at the moment? The Mercedes?
I have, that's been collected, thank goodness. I'm now in a Suzuki Espresso, so I've really dropped to very, very budget buy, which I actually love. So I'm happy.
The happy Juliet McGuire. It's hard to imagine Juliet unhappy, isn't it? She's just always up there and bubbly. Juliet McGuire of Juliet McGuire.